Will you turn with me, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. We'll read from verse 14 and consider tonight verse 17 in particular. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And this is the word of the Lord. May the Lord himself bless our meditation upon it tonight. There's scarcely any verse in the Bible which brings home so powerfully to us just what a privilege it is to be the children of God. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Just think of it for a moment. And not only that, being glorified together. And all totally and utterly undeserved. But that is what a Christian is. A Christian is a child of God. They are children by the grace of adoption, divine adoption into his family, not based on anything in themselves, simply grace, the grace of God in Christ towards them. And there are, of course, marks of those who are or become adopted into the family of God, marks of being within God's family. There is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is clear here, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life. Whereas previously the soul was in bondage to sin, to the flesh, now the soul, what is the soul like now? Alive to God. Now they possess the spirit of adoption by which they cry, Abba, Father. How do you know that a man or a woman has a spirit of adoption? It's in the cry. They cry out to God as their Father in heaven. The adopted soul cries to the Lord in prayer. He is now to them their Father in heaven. That wasn't so before, but it is now. The adopted soul, what a privilege, what a precious position, and what a precious condition as well. And accompanying this is real assurance. How? Well, there's the witness of the Spirit. We read in verse 16, the witness of the Spirit with our spirits. This 16th verse deals with the question of assurance. Inward persuasion, not least concerning the discernment of marks, the fruit of the Spirit, which indicates that our lives are indeed lives of children of God. Not that necessarily the Christian will have a strong assurance of sense. They may have a very weak assurance of sense that they are truly right with God. But there will nonetheless be some sense of the witness of the Spirit experientially in the hearts of those who are children by grace. What is on the face of our text here tonight in verse 17? Is the sheer privilege of being adopted into the family of God. Verse 17 here shines with privilege. Not privilege by any natural means. As for instance we speak of the privileged, those who have inherited great fortunes in this world. Nothing natural about this privilege. It is a privilege that always will magnify the grace of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. There are two elements in the verse. They both begin, well, as I'm expounding it tonight, they both begin with P. One is privilege, heirs, and the other is prospect, glory. The privilege, being heirs of God, and the prospect of glory to come. So first of all, the privilege of being heirs. And if children, children of God, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. When we speak about the privilege that it is to be a child of God in the family of God, here is the pinnacle of it. The very pinnacle of it. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. Ah, the position, my dear friends, of the adopted child. They are full-fledged children in the spiritual family of God. There are none of them second-class citizens in his family. They have all who are in the family of God by grace. They are all saved by grace. They have all come into that position for which nature itself, the flesh, gave them no entitlement. No believer deserved or deserved more than others to be a child of God. Grace made them thus. Undeserved grace it was that irresistibly drew them. The righteousness of Christ justified them when they came to faith in him. And the Holy Spirit's quickening gave life to their formerly dead souls. And they were predestined, as we read in Ephesians 1, to adoption. And thus did they become. Thus does the child of God enjoy this privilege of being an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. This is how Paul put it right into the Galatians, in chapter 4 in Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This then, you see, is this wonderful privileged position, this privileged status of the children of God, those who are saved, those who are born again, those who are Christians. They are heirs. What is an heir? Well, an heir is, in our human terms, someone who is entitled to the estate of their parents or parents. And that estate might be great or it might be very small, but they are entitled to it by virtue of the fact of being children in that home. It is at once their entitlement and their privilege. Even in human terms, it can be appreciated that the heir did not necessarily deserve the estate or a share of it of which they may have a claim over. And certainly that is how it is with the child of God, not deserving to be an heir or to have a claim. Nevertheless, because of the relationship that they bear to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, because they have been the happy, undeserving recipients of the grace of God in their hearts, they receive such a status, they receive such a privilege, they receive such a title. So to whose estate are the children of God heirs? It is God's estate, heirs of God. And who are the heirs of his estate? all who are likewise found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are united to Jesus Christ by faith. It is a crucial relationship because there would be no heirship apart from what he has accomplished on behalf of those who come to receive him by faith. And this is perfectly clear from the text we quoted earlier in Galatians 4. Jesus the Son is, if you will, the natural heir of God. As the Son, the eternal Son. But we become heirs with him, joint heirs with Christ, through what he has done to redeem us from our sins. This is the marvel of it. This is the marvel of what it is to be a Christian. The marvel of what it is to be a man or a woman of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as in all other aspects of the status of believers as accepted by the Lord and adopted into his family, Christ has all the glory. It is an account of him that they have this privilege. Joint heirs with Christ. He suffered for you, believer. And therefore, you will be prepared to suffer for him. And you will suffer for him. You will. But this matter of being heirs is a status enjoyed by all the adopted children of grace. But it raises the question, what will the inheritance be? They are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, on the basis of what he has done. But what is the inheritance that they will enjoy? In this life, a person will be an heir of a family or parent, and they may very well inherit debt. You've heard this often enough. What did the parent leave to the children? Debt. So what is the inheritance to be enjoyed by the adopted child of God, the adopted son, daughter of God? Well, this is the second point from this verse tonight, and that is the prospect, glory. If children and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, may be also glorified together. For the children of God, the prospects are bright indeed. There may indeed be sufferings to endure in this life as members of his kingdom, but they are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Therefore, the inheritance is the inheritance that they will enjoy is immeasurable, that they may be also glorified together. Glory itself with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the redeemed and the holy angels hold this is the inheritance. This glory is the inheritance and prospect of the heirs of Christ. And if you are a Christian tonight, whoever is a Christian tonight, and in walking upon this earth, this is the prospect that they have as heirs of God. Because they are found in Christ. Because they are adopted by grace into his family. They have the status, but they have the prospect. And the prospect is nothing less than glory itself, all secured by Jesus. Think of the outburst of praise there is in that letter that we read earlier, 1 Peter and chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, where Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope," a new birth. They have experienced a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, from Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, a living hope through the resurrection on the basis of what he has done, to an inheritance. An inheritance. See that word inheritance? They're heirs. They have an inheritance. What is the inheritance? The inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It is the inheritance. Begotten again to an inheritance. Heaven. Reserved in heaven. There is a place for you who believe, reserved in heaven. That's what Jesus said, John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. Individually. For all his people. For all these adopted sons. For all for whom he died. For all who are found in him. For all who have been born again and come to faith in him, repented of their sins and believed. An inheritance reserved in heaven for those who by the power of God persevere in faith. All the riches of heaven, the riches of heaven with Christ, the redeemed of the Lord, the holy angels, forever and ever. The glorious, incorruptible inheritance, undefiled, that does not fade. Fade away. Perfect, perfect, perfect peace, perfect happiness, perfect contentment, perfect character, perfect relationships with all who are there. Nothing to spoil, nothing to mar, no sin, no tears, no regrets, no envy, no jealousy, nothing like that to spoil hearts. Full to overflowing with love and knowledge of Christ and for all others who are there, for all the saints. It is glory in Emmanuel's land. This is the inheritance. This is that for which the saints, the believers here below, are heirs. They are heirs of this inheritance. Peter himself had a foretaste on the Mount of Transfiguration. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. That word, does not fade away, is a very powerful one because we know how things fade away. Our youth fades away. Our health fades away. Our friendships fade away. Our memories fade away. But hereafter, that which is the inheritance of the saints, no fading away then, an inexhaustible fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit within sustaining faith and love and rejoicing in the fulfillment of hope. Because that is, here we are in a situation of the expectation of hope. Or the expectation that constitutes our hope. But there it is constantly the experience of the fulfillment of it. We have hope in this life, but hereafter all hope fulfilled. This is part of what is inherited by the saints in light. We are reminded, of course, here that there is no cross without a crown. If indeed we suffer with him, if indeed we suffer with him. Make no mistake, it is costly to follow Jesus. He foretold and warned us of this. We read in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. What can we say to that? What can sustain the child of God through such persecutions in this life, endured for the sake of the Saviour? We can surely say this. It's into the next verse. Verse 18. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And it is all endurable. What is suffered for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ is endurable because of the inheritance awaiting the children of God. This sustains them. The fact that they are heirs, they have this privilege, and the fact that they have this prospect of glory. They will suffer for Jesus now, and he promised it. And they will in the nature of the case, but they will be sustained through it all by the thought of the meditation upon the expectation of the glory that is to be their inheritance hereafter. There with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth, awaiting beyond in a place prepared for the individual Christian. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's it, you see. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Glorified together. So packed into this verse is the privilege of being the adopted children of God. This is the glory of the doctrine of adoption. What it means for the Christian in terms of their being heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is their status and standing in his sight on account of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the inward work of the Holy Spirit. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are indeed debtors to Christ. We are debtors to mercy. But it's the implication of such a standing. You shall suffer for Christ's sake, yes. But that itself is a source of blessing, which is what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount when he spoke in verses 11 and 12 about the blessedness of those who suffer persecution. Blessed are you when they persecute you and think all manner of evil against you for his sake. But ultimately, there is suffering, but ultimately, there is glory in prospect. Paul sums it up beautifully, writing to Timothy. As he comes towards the end of his life, an aged Paul writing to Timothy, second letter to Timothy. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also, there's a word, reign with him. Reign with him. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If we deny him, of course, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So you see all that is in this wonderful verse 17. The privilege of being in God's family as his children, as converted men and women. What is your standing? It is being heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Which itself brings the glorious prospect of being glorified together. What a prospect. Oh, my dear beloved, may it be yours and mine. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Something to keep our minds and hearts upon as we go through this world with all its trials and difficulties, sorrows and sufferings. As he goes on to say, the sufferings of this world, what are they compared to the glory that is to be? And may the Lord bless these thoughts upon his word. Let us pray. our loving Father in heaven. We are thankful for thy word and pray that the Spirit would bless it to our hearts and would give us that witness within ourselves that we are children of thine. And as children of thine, Lord, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, heirs of the inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for those kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Give thy blessing upon us tonight, Lord, that our mind and heart would be lifted to the things above and beyond. And Lord, that though there is suffering to endure in this world, we thank thee, Lord, for those wonderful encouragements that thou dost give in thy word to thine own children, that there is a glory to follow. Give thy blessing upon us in this congregation, that the word of God would be in power amongst us, that, Lord, thou would stir in our hearts by thy Spirit a lively faith and hope and love, and that the blessing of Jesus would be upon us. We pray for thy blessing upon the congregation, that souls would be saved in the congregation, that we might see families being touched, that we might see our children and our children's children being converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might see through the witness of thy people, that, Lord, that we might see the blessing of God in the souls being reached for Jesus, and we might see days of great enlargement and encouragement in the ingathering of men and women and children into thy great kingdom. And Lord our God, that men and women would come into the glorious hope of the children of grace. Gracious Lord, we pray for our church as a whole, that in these days we might be guided of thee and helped of thee, that there would be blessing in all our congregations and amongst all our ministers and office bearers, elders and deacons. We pray, Lord, for a strengthening in these days of the things that remain, and the blessing of the Lord being with us, and that the ministries would be fruitful and blessed of God. We do pray for our brother James McInnes as he prepares for the work in Lochalsh and Strath, and we pray, Lord, that he might be encouraged and might be blessed, and that there might be a responsiveness to the work, and men and women attaching themselves to the ministry. And we pray that souls would be saved. Give thy blessing, Lord, we pray, upon those who are preparing for the ministry in the seminary and for those who lecture. We pray for blessing upon that work, that, Lord, there may be fruit from it. We pray for our dear brother in Sri Lanka, and we ask that Parthipan might be helped and guided in his work in church planting. We pray that thy blessing would attend it. And also the work in Zambia. Grant, Lord, that there would be encouragement there, and especially in the appointment of other men to help in the teaching work and ministry for the preparation of men for gospel ministry. Gracious Lord, we look upon thee in mercy. We pray for thy blessing to be upon us tonight, that thou wouldst enable us, Lord, to walk and live by faith, and that thou wouldst give us a lively faith and hope. O Lord our God, enable us to live consistently, to mortify sin, and to live for Christ, to glorify his great name. Bless the services on the forthcoming Sabbath, if thou shouldst spare us, Lord, we pray. And grant, Lord, that wherever the word goes forth, it may be in power, and that there would be great blessing following. Help us, Lord, in all our trials, in all our sorrows, in all our griefs. Help us, Lord, in all our disappointments and shortcomings, and enable us, Lord, to look to thyself, that some issues that may seem to us unsurmountable, we might know the help of the Lord in such great measure, Lord, that thou wouldst enable us to overcome. Look upon us in mercy, then, we pray. Cleanse us from our sin. Undertake for us in thy mercy, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.